It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome back to Sensible Health Solutions. We are in the middle of a rebranding of our program, and we have decided to change it to Sensible Health Solutions. We are now also available on YouTube and Spotify. If you want to go back and listen to the past episodes, you can also go back into the archives. I'm your host, Haley. With me is Dr. Looper, and our last episode, we were talking about how to set up healthy patterns of living, and our conversation was getting good, so I think we're going to pick it up right where we left off.
It's a lively conversation.
Yeah.
Hello, Haley.
Hey, Dr. Looper.
Glad you're back.
Yes, happy to be back. So where we left off, you know, we were talking about the pattern of what we can and we can't have, and
Yeah, let's make it easy. The thing is, what everybody wants to do is they want to create these rules and follow the rules, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you set up a system, not rules, but a system of how you live, and then you run it. The system, let's go back to food because it's an easy example to talk about. What you do is you think about, what do I want to eat? Then you go to the grocery store and you buy the stuff. And then you bring it home and then you eat it. That's the system. It's not more complicated than that. So if you want to live on, you know, Hot Pockets and Oreos, you go to the grocery store.
But you align the system with what your goals are. So if you have a goal of losing weight, then you have to set your system up with healthy foods and eat it in increments that promote metabolization.
Yep.
And
yep. We live in the real world. Yeah. We're real things happen, yeah. And there's consequences. So you want to be healthy, feel good, have a clear mind, and be slender and fit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't buy Hot Pockets and Oreos. You can't live on that. It's not possible. It doesn't work. It'll catch
you
up with you.
You can't have ice cream every day.
People have tried it a zillion times, and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, let's not say they're not trying it now. As we speak, people are living on Hot Pockets and Oreos, and they're alive.
Yeah.
They get calories, except for they decline over time. And so it turns out to be a stupid plan. Don't do it. The better thing to do is go get real food and do real stuff with the food that makes you happy and do that. I mean, it doesn't have to taste bad. It make it taste good. You might need to, you know, cook. That happens from time to time. You might need to plan ahead and make enough to last the week because that makes it easier. So what I do is for lunch, and I mentioned that on last show, is I get a bunch of ingredients together, the best stuff I can find. It's all vegetables and some sort of meat. And I season the meat and then cook some of the vegetables by frying them and then throw the other ones on top, put a little water or some kind of chicken stock or something in it, and then cook it down and make this. You'd call it a soup if it was more soupy, but it's pretty much straight vegetables. So
it's
I'm going to call
stew.
It a stew.
Yeah.
It really is more of a stew. And it's got a lot of seasoning in it because I like seasons. And it's delicious, and I look forward to it every day, and I enjoy it immensely, and then I never eat it again because the next week I make something else different, and I never write anything down, and so I never know exactly what I'm going to get. And by golly, they're mostly all good. I mean, 90% of the time they're good, and then 10% of the time it's still decent. It's just not as good as it was before. But somehow or other, as time goes on, I keep figuring out ways to make it better. My secret ingredient or my super ingredient that I'm doing lately is I'll put a couple tablespoons of vinegar at the end.
Yeah.
And what it does is it brightens it all up.
Yummy.
It doesn't taste vinegary.
Red wine or white?
Yeah. Or
apple cider,
whenever.
Yeah.
Just whatever I got a mood for. Red wine tends to have a little better flavor profile. If you really want it strong, it turns out to be balsamic, but that's a little too much. It overpowers the rest of it.
Yeah. I would probably put in half as much with balsamic.
Yeah. And so there it is. And here's this. I mean, you're scheming. You look at it. What is it made of? What's it got in it? If it's got tomatoes in it, then it'll take the balsamic pretty well.
Yeah.
If it's got, you know, green vegetables in it, you're going to need something lighter. Maybe just, regular vinegar or apple cider vinegar, and not too much. Again, not enough to where you can taste it, except for it is there. What happens is it does this magical thing where it brightens up, but you can't. You never think vinegar. You don't eat it and think, oh, there's vinegar in this. You go, here's what you do. You go, ooh, this is good.
So how do we take these principles and apply? I know we're talking a lot about meal planning. And
let's change the subject.
Yeah.
We do it enough meal planning. We did that on the last show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about trying to accomplish a goal and then using these same principles to accomplish a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick muscle building.
Oh.
Now, you would think we're talking about, you know, like bodybuilding where there's competitive.
I've done that, yeah.
And
I've
you've done that.
Muscle.
See, this is something you got some experience
with. Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking more. Now, that's good. We're going to include that. But I'm also thinking that I got a lot of patients who are losing muscle as they get older and they're getting thinner and they're, you know, they're living in their 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And so they're really just trying to get muscle on. And so they'll come to me and say, Dr. Looper, okay, I appreciate that I'm alive. Thank you. But I need to get more muscle. And I say, oh, great. Then what we need to do is we need to tweak your system. We need to get you set up.
Do you
doing
have them
things.
Eat more protein?
Yeah. But here's the but. If you eat more protein, first of all, let's back it up and get the basics here. Muscle is made of protein.
Absolutely.
So you want to build muscle, you got to get protein in. There's no way around it. That's a fact. It's just how it works. You got to put the stuff in that the thing is made out of.
Yep.
Otherwise, you can't make it. Okay. Now, here's the downside to this, which is our digestive system has a limited capacity to break down protein.
I have heard that you can only metabolize up to like 24 grams of protein per serving.
No, here's the thing. Yes, that's correct.
Is it?
But not with everybody.
Because there are these products out there, like these protein shakes that are like, oh, 40 grams of protein. And
it's
I'm
too
like,
much.
Can you even metabolize that?
No.
Who?
It's not. You don't have the capacity to absorb it.
Yeah.
You have a limited amount of real estate.
And then you're damaging your kidneys by putting so much protein into your system that it can't process.
Well, yeah. Except for I wouldn't worry about that. Because you're going to have other problems bigger before the kidneys fail. Because you're going to feel like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to feel tired and toxic from the fact that if you don't eat it, someone else will.
And the fact that if it's not digesting, it's just sitting.
Just sitting until it hits your lower. The bugs are going to eat it, and they're going to take what they want, and they're going to poop out the nasty bits. And you're going to have to, because out ain't the right word, because it is in.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to deal with that toxic crap. That's what it is that those bugs are making. And you're going to feel tired and toxic and rashy. And moody,
and
bunches
of
stuff.
One.
Yeah, all this stuff happens. So if you take that protein and you start pushing it because you want to build muscles, you got a real good chance of having it backfire.
Yeah, and having their
work.
Symptoms and side effects get worse. And now then them coming back to you like, Dr. Looper, why am I worse, not better?
Let me make this perfectly clear. There's a limited capacity for the digestion and absorption of protein. You could easily overwhelm your system.
So I've been actually hearing research of like 30 to 40 grams per meal.
So it varies from person to person. Now, if you're a 21-year-old male in the peak of health, man, you could pound down, you know, a pound of meat, no problem.
They're even recommending it for women who are like 30 to 40 to have at least 30 grams of protein per meal.
It's too much.
Because it is like better for your...
It depends on what kind of protein you're talking about. If you're talking about, you know, branched chain amino acids, bring it on because those are easy to digest. They're already digested. So you can get something that's super simple to digest, then you got no problem because you digest it and you can absorb it mostly. Like fish turns out to be easy to digest or fresh meats. Now you take that protein and you eat it in the form of pepperoni, right? You're going to eat 12 ounces of pepperoni. Yeah, you're going to have the biggest stomach ache you ever had in your life. What is the difference between pepperoni and fish? Fish is easy to digest?
Pepperoni is cured. Pepperoni is shelf stable.
It is designed not to rot.
Yeah.
Now, rotting is digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So if it won't rot, it won't digest easily. Now, you could take pepperoni and you can grind it up and mix it with some water, put some stomach acid in it, some enzymes, break it up, and eventually it's going to rot. You can rot it in your kitchen if you process it enough. That's what happens with digestion, except for it don't want to rot. Now, you could take a piece of fish and leave it on the freaking counter. It'll rot on its own. You don't have to do anything. It'll just rot. It won't last half a day before it starts to rot and grow slime on it because it's so easy to digest. So if you can eat foods that are easy to digest, then you got a good chance of digesting them because they're easy.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as you're setting up the system, remember the conversation is, how do we, Dr. Looper, how do we set up a system where I can grow muscle? Except for they don't say it that way. They just say, I need to grow muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, well, you set up a system where you can get the basic material in your body and then, you know, jiggle it a bit so that it turns on and does what you want. Okay. It's oversimplification, but the piece at a time. Get the right stuff in your body. So in order to build muscle, you got to get protein in. In order to get protein in, you got to get a protein that is digestible. So you got to pick something that you can digest and also something that you like.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like it, it's going to get old.
Yeah.
Branched-chain amino acids are a great example because branched-chain amino acids are proteins that are partially digested. And you can buy them?
Yeah, I know. And I heard that they were hokey. I heard that they were gimmicky.
No, here's the rub on branched-chain amino acids. We have learned.
Like the drinkable BCAAs.
Yeah, we have learned to recognize branched-chain amino acids. What they are is rotten meat. So you get if you get near branched-chain amino acids, you're going to go, this smells bad. You can't eat it.
Yeah.
The only way you can eat branched-chain amino acids is if you bury it in enough sugar, and you make it sweet enough, then it's something that you can actually, you know, think maybe I'm going to eat this thing because it smells like a chocolate milkshake. Yeah, other than that, you can't touch it. So it's a stupid idea. Don't do it. Really, it's a bad idea. Now, there's some really good stuff out on the market that if you could stomach, it would be really good for you, except for we have learned to recognize it is rot.
Yeah, but they do have these like powdered BCAA drinks.
Which are just sweetened.
Yeah, they're just sugary drinks.
Yeah, but so it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You're right. It's gimmicky. It's hokey.
It's gimmicky. It's not
don't do it.
So authentic. Not real sourced
protein. Yeah, get real
protein.
Food. Real food's better. So what you do is you find something that you like and something that's got protein in it and something that's easy to digest, and that's what you do. So I tell all my patients.
Eggs.
Eggs are great. I want to tell you, I want you to eat some protein with every meal.
Yep.
Now, not too much. You know, maybe
4 ounces.
4 ounces. Yeah, 4 ounces is a lot. If you're 83 years old and you're a female, 4 ounces is too much.
You want to eat 4 ounces of protein every meal.
Yeah, because you're 31 and healthy. So that's it. So if you're weak and you've been sick and you're like doing this thing, no, less. I'd say 2 ounces, 3 ounces, somewhere around there. Some small amount of ounces. Now, how do you tell what ounces is it? You could cut it up and put it on a scale.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. Or you could look at your finger and say, is it 1 finger or is it 2 finger or 3 finger? Because 1 finger is 1 ounce and 2 fingers is 2 ounces and 3 fingers is 3 ounces-ish.
Ish, yeah.
Close enough. So you get a sense of how much protein you're getting by seeing how many fingers worth you're eating. And the thing is, for most older women, they don't want to eat that much anyways because it makes them feel bad if they overeat. They get toxic and they can tell. And so by instinct, they won't eat much. And then what happens is they start losing muscle, particularly if they don't eat regularly. So the trick of this thing is to eat 3 times a day, to set a schedule, even if you're not hungry. Get at least a little bit in so you're getting the basic building blocks to be able to make muscle, and now you can start building muscle. That's how you do it. It may be that what you need to do is take digestive enzymes to break it down and make it easier. It may be what you need to do, and I do that with some patients, maybe what you need to do is take bitters, that's usually Purge the World, that stimulates your digestive system to work better. And maybe what you need to do is take a little bit of actually acid in terms of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Apple cider vinegar is famous for this, but other vinegars will work too. And you take a little bit of vinegar when you have some protein,
mm-hmm.
and then your digestive system is stronger. So there's a lot of ways to skin a cat here. There's lots of things that you can do that are going to strengthen your digestive system. And that
and
is exactly
build
you,
muscle.
And build muscle. That's
and
how
so,
you do it.
Okay, so just incorporating a little bit of protein in every meal.
Now, let's say we're talking about old people and they're a special case. What about someone young and strong? How do you build muscle with them? Same thing. It's just they can do more.
Yeah, and you have to break that muscle down to build it. You have to absolutely tear it.
Yes.
To get it to grow.
And same with older people. It's the same.
Yeah, so how do you do that with older people who can't go to the gym and lift and demolish their muscles like that?
Well, they can go to the gym.
Well, I mean, they can, but like...
And they can lift. What they do is they lift lighter weights.
Mm-hmm.
And they demolish their muscles very slightly.
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 Not as much as a 23-year-old bodybuilder
would. Yeah, but that's
would.
The answer is it's the same, just a matter of degree.
Okay.
So when you're young, you could pick up heavy weights and do lots of reps, and you just rebuild the next day. When you're older, you do lighter weights with fewer reps, or better yet, you do even lighter weights with the same reps. The reps I like. Just the weights I don't like. So I don't want so much strain on your muscles. And then you have to pay attention to how much you can do because you don't want to overdo it. Now, if you do it and you come up lame, like you can't do your life, look, you did way too much. If you come up slightly sore, you hit the mark. That is exactly where we want you to be, just like that. And also, what the main thing we want to do is not just tear muscle down, some of that, but we don't want to do that every day of the week. Maybe we do that twice a week?
Well, if you do it every day of the week, it's not actually going to break because it's accustomed to it. It's used to that. So it's not going to tear in the same way that it would if you did a shoulder day and then you did a leg day and then you did an arm day. You kind of have to switch and alternate.
You give a day to do the wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give a day to do the repair.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to plan the...
And then during the repair, you stretch and you feed to where you are stretching that muscle and it can grow into that space. And then you are feeding it so that it can build on those components.
Yeah, and what it lives on, your muscles,
mm-hmm.
is blood.
Mm-hmm.
Blood carries everything that your muscles need. It carries protein. It carries oxygen. It carries everything. The whole kit and caboodle comes in through your blood. So clearly we need to get blood flowing. If we can get the blood flowing, then you're going to build muscle. How do you do that? You got to move.
You got to walk. You got to stand up. You got to stretch. You got to
muscle building
cold showers.
That's another way to do it. So muscle building is not about just working out with weights. It has little to do with working out weights. It has more to do with moving.
Mm-hmm.
You move your body. Now, here's the thing. It building muscle is not just a matter of tearing it down and having your body rebuild it. It's a matter of getting your hormones straight. Because if your hormones are broken, you won't build muscle. You need to get your hormones straight. So how do you get your hormones straight? You got to get you straight.
You got to get your
healthy.
Liver straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So this pattern for living has now evolved into a pattern to building muscle, which has now evolved into your circulatory system and your endocrine system.
Yes.
So really, it's not just a straight shot answer.
No.
It's a full system.
Yep. That's exactly right. Okay, so those of you who've listened to the show frequently, right, regular listeners, you know what I'm going to say right now? It's going to be, yes, Haley. It boils down to eat right and exercise.
And sleep. And drink your water.
Yeah, right. So it turns out it's the same story every time we do this show. It boils down to the same thing. I know. But the mechanism is really interesting, how it works and how you do it. Here's the thing. This muscle thing, it's a real problem. There are people who are wasting away as we speak. These poor people. And they don't want to die. They want to stay alive. What can I do to stay alive? So the answer is you got to get protein in, but not too much. You eat too much, it rots. And now you're sicker than you were before. So where's the line? You're going to have to find out. Probably less than you think. Okay, number one, eat protein, but not too much. Spread it out. Don't try to just eat it all at breakfast. Eat some at breakfast.
Yeah,
some at
and
lunch.
That's what happened. That's what I did when I was bodybuilding. I'm not sure, like, if an 80 or 7-year-old patient would follow these rules, but that you fed your body every 3 hours. It was like a fire that you were fueling. And to keep the fire burning, to keep your metabolism burning, you want to constantly feed it. So yeah, I was eating every 3 hours.
Young and strong 3 hours. When you're older, you need longer between.
Okay.
Because you got to clear it out of your system. You literally got to do less frequent feedings. 3 times a day, 4 times a day tops. Okay. Next thing is how easy it is to take that thing you just ate and turn it into muscle. If it's an easy protein to digest, you can't live only on protein. You need vegetables and fruit, that kind of stuff too. But the protein, how easy it is to digest? And turns out that there's some proteins that are easier to digest. In fact, amino acids, which are what protein's made out of, so those are even easier. And of course, you have to be careful because you get too many amino acids, it tastes like rot. Let me do a teeny little story here. There's this concoction that I used for years ago called C-Cure as a way to build people's muscles up and to build their digestive system up. And how they made it was that they broke down whitefish. There's a fish that they fish for in Europe, and they would take the whitefish and they'd break it down, they'd digest it, and then they would put it in these capsules. And it was the best thing I ever used. I swear to God, right now, it was the best thing that I've ever used of anything I've ever tried to help build people up. Except for, I'd say 1 in 3 people would come back and say, I'm sorry, Dr. Luber, this one's spoiled.
Mm.
And I'd say, no, that's actually what it smells like. No, listen, smell. You can smell it. It's spoiled. Yeah, I know. That's what it smells like. It's not spoiled. That's the amino acids you're smelling, and they smell like spoiled. So I couldn't get people to take it. Now, people would. They would choke it down, right, even though it smelled rotten. And eventually I just gave up on it because it was too – I was having to lean on people too much and twist their arms behind their back to make them take the freaking C-Cure. There's an easier solution that's 90% as effective as a C-Cure, but doesn't everybody can take it, and that's glutamine.
Glutamine.
We use a lot of glutamine in the clinic.
Yes, we do.
You know that. Because we do it to build people up.
Mm-hmm.
So glutamine is an amino acid that you can take that particularly builds up the lining of your digestive system so that you can absorb more protein and build your muscles up.
Oh.
It's a muscle builder, but not directly.
Ah, I thought it was a gut healer. That's exactly what we use it for.
It's a gut healer that when you take it, it heals your gut so much that you can absorb more
nutrients,
and now you're building muscle.
Ooh,
trippy, isn't
it?
Yeah, one thing leads to the other kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that works really well is this hydroxymethylbutyrate. That's another gut-supporting substance, and it has a knack for building muscle. So that's the thing that I use mostly.
Do we carry that?
We do. We get it in those bags.
HMB. HMB. Yeah,
HMB.
Yeah. I was like,
We don't call it hydroxymethylbutyrate. We call it HMB.
Yes.
And HMB works really well, and it builds muscle. And notice who I put it on. I put it on mostly old people.
Uh-huh.
Hardly anybody who is building muscle comes to me because we treat sick people.
Yeah.
We're not like a...
We're not an aesthetic clinic.
No,
we're not
a
tailoring
spa.
These... competition bodies and their meal plans.
Yeah, we're not.
We know people who do that.
We do.
Uh-huh.
We're not. It's not our shtick. Except for, guess what? That technology is the same technology you use to build up cancer patients.
So, what would you do if you wanted to just use it recreationally, not for cancer?
You'd take a teaspoon 3 times a day.
Okay.
That you want to know what the dose is?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. A teaspoon 3 times a day. You could do more. You could double it. You could do two teaspoons 3 times a day.
Does it retain water?
No.
Does it...
You're fine. I mean, it just builds muscle.
Okay.
That's what it does. You just get muscle built from it. It builds your digestive system up, and then it builds, since it builds you up, then your muscles get built up from it as well. It's super simple. Simple, easy thing to do to build muscle. And so we talk about systems. Some of these systems are like, duh. This is a duh system. The system is get the bag of HMB and then put it, near the refrigerator where you won't forget it. And then every morning,
take your scoop and
dig
add
in
it.
And you set up a system where you take it. And then there it is. You're getting it in your system. Now, you got to do that, though. You can't just say, this is a great idea, and fling it in the pantry, and maybe you remember, maybe you don't, because then you won't take it. It's not actually going
to
work.
No, it has to be out on the counter. For me, all my supplements have to be laid out in sequential order most of my supplements just go into a smoothie in the morning, and then the supplements that don't go into my chia seed drink. So I have like four different liquids that I drink every day to get my supplements in.
Yeah, so I have a combination of, you know, because I got that lymphoma thing. So I have a combination of liquid stuff, tinctures mostly.
Tinctures, supplements.
Yeah, I have two different kinds of tinctures, and then this mushroom drink I throw in. God, it makes a horrible concoction. It's just like...
The mushroom drink? Is it the rise?
The mushroom's fine. It's not. It's the cordyceps.
Oh, yeah.
The mushroom's fine. That's the easiest part of it. It's the phase two concoction, because I'm on phase two right now. Man, that stuff is tough to take. I'm a grizzled veteran in taking nasty.
I haven't taken any of those tinctures yet. I've taken the other tinctures we have.
It's rough. I'll tell you. It's hot. That's the problem with it. Because one of the ingredients is Pipera longa, and it's a key ingredient to help trigger the cancer to
commit suicide. What's the Latin for that?
That is in Latin.
Okay.
Pipera longa. It's long pepper.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the common name. It's called long pepper. And it's good. It works. I mean, it really does. It causes cancer to self-destruct. You know, there's other things you got to do. It doesn't work by itself. It's not the cure for cancer by itself. But you do a combination of things. You set the system up and then let it run. And by golly, more times than not, it actually works. The cancer will shrink. We've been doing it, you know, routinely. I'm not doing the show on cancer, but it's the same conversation.
Which
you set up the thing.
It's the practices that you set up.
Yeah, the practices that you set up, and you're looking for a particular goal. And here's the good news. We have a brain. We could use it. And, you know, some of us, me, spend my life looking for these things so that I could give people coaching about what to put into their body. It's not like you come in and I say, you know, take allopurinol, 15 milligrams twice a day, and then we're good. I mean, that's a pretty simple system. If you could set it up where you take a pill twice a day or once a day and you're fixed, woo-woo, let's do that. Except for it turns out it's mostly a bunch of crap, because it ends up forcing your chemistry in your body to do a certain thing, and then you end up getting side effects from it. And then it turns up not really helping you like you hoped it would. I might give example after example. I mean, we love drugs. Drugs are excellent. Drugs are helpful. They save lives, except for a lot of times they fall short of actually helping you. What they do is they solve the immediate problem.
But then they create other problems
and side effects. And
headaches. Even
if they work, they tend to work for a while, and then your body gets used to them, and then they don't do what they used to do. You know, those selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, those are famous example for that. They're fabulous. You take one and suddenly your mood's better and the world is better and you're like happier about doing stuff and you're great for, I don't know, a year, two, three maybe, and then that's it. You're back to your same old grind. And now you're taking this thing and it's not really doing anything for you, except for if you quit taking it, you plummet into depression and it's super hard to get off it. So that's the problem with these things. They often, at best, they work for a while and then they don't work that well anymore. So often is the case. I mean, that's the bane of medicine, is that things work for a while and then they quit working. So if we can get systems set up where you actually get healthier, for real, like on the inside, you're actually healthier. And you can do it. It's not that even that hard, honestly. It's mostly common sense. You do anybody could have done this show thinking about themselves. I want to build muscle. What is muscle made out of? Protein. I kind of knew that already. And so I'm going to eat more protein. Yeah, here the trick is, how much can you eat? And digest, because if you're old and frail, not much. And that people don't know. They think I'm just going to do a super shake and put in 75 grams of protein and it's going to fix my problem. No, it isn't. You're going to get a stomach ache is what you're going to get. And you'll know that quickly. Once one and done is usually how that goes. But if you can do a little bit, a quarter dose, you know, three times a day, and better yet, eat real food, that'll even work even better. Because it comes with all kinds of side benefits to it. And our body's set to do real food anyways. And you run that, and then you exercise just enough to stimulate the conversion of the material, that's protein, into muscle, because you need the hormones to do this thing, and you get the hormones to turn on because there's a call for muscle, because you're needing it, because you're walking up the hill, you know, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And now your body says, hey, We need muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And boop, there goes the hormones. As long as you got the material available, woohoo, you start making muscle, and there it is. You got a better life because you're walking up the road, up the hill, and it's lovely, by the way. You know, there's that. Even in the wintertime, it's winter wonderland around here. You put on a coat and a hat and gloves and long underwear.
And that's your pattern.
And that's your pattern. And you get a pattern going, and now you feel like you got control. Like this is me. I'm doing stuff. And, you know, by golly, it's working. I feel really good about this. There's that sense of satisfaction, deep satisfaction. It's not like you're going and taking a pill and it's causing some kind of chemical reaction in your body and you're like, meh. It's like you're doing this thing that...
More
that
preparation than that.
Your instincts. Yeah, your instincts kick in and you feel good about how this thing is working. You just got this basic solid vitality. Haley.
It's time.
Haley's giving me the signal.
It's time, Dr. Looper.
Dang it, I'm just getting warmed up.
I know. Our conversations get so good by the end of our segment. So we'll have to continue next time.
All right, Haley. Thanks for helping.
Thanks, Dr. Looper.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.